Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about the revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. Today's date is August 24th, 2006. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Of course, you all know that if you've been listening for a while. And for those of you who have just started listening, you are about to hear the truth. That's what we do here. We dig through the mess that most people don't want to even get involved in digging through, or they don't necessarily have the time to dig through it, and we try to for you. And we've been trying to put together an idea here that and get some traction on it, just for people to start taking an active role in taking back our government through the processes that are available to us. One of them we discussed last week, and I hope we can at least revisit that today for at least 5 minutes, give people a few incidental pointers on it, and also talk about the precinct idea that was bantered around a couple of weeks ago when we first talked with my guest today, Jim Condit. It's his third visit with us. The reason why Jim has been coming on for this first few interviews here was to try to forward an idea that we as individuals on a local basis can make a profound effect on the political process just by showing up, by participating, and also in the electoral process by running for an office with a very small sum of money, and not necessarily, ladies and gentlemen, to win. The idea is not to win the contest that you're entering, but rather to inform the public about the truth that we have dug up. So, but without any further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest today. His name's Jim Condit, and wonderful to have you with me here, Jim, again.
Hi, how you doing there, Daryl? And I always say Jim Condit Jr. because I don't want my dad, who's still alive, and others to be necessarily blamed for what I say.
Oh, Jim Condit Jr. Okay,
no,
well, that works for me. And
no,
and you know what, Jim? It is late here. It's like midnight, and I'm absolutely dead tired. But these are important issues, so I'm going to try to give myself as much energy as I can and address them in as important a way as I can. So let's get started with this precinct idea, and
yeah,
maybe give people.
We can certainly bring in. In fact, let me just remind maybe the people listening that didn't hear the last two shows, or kind of summarize what this series, if you will, is about.
Yeah.
One, we want to give, you know, we want to give people the only in America, in the United States of America, the only peaceful constitutional way that's left to take back our country and avoid much worse consequences. And you and I are both working now for that. We are working for peaceful constitutional change. And it's possible your leaders and your organizations from left to right have just not told you what it is. That everyone, just about everybody but somebody that's in a monastery or somebody that's an invalid can have some part in taking some action and doing. One of the main reasons we need to take back the government quickly, by the county level, which is where we are locally, we're all in a local neighborhood, is because we got to get a fair vote system again. We got to get honest elections where the ballots are counted by the by hand and by the neighborhoods in their neighborhood precinct. And that's what our first show is about. And then the second show was about how to reach hundreds of thousands and millions of people instead of just thousands on the Internet, which is good. The Internet's doing great. It's expanding slowly. The strategy we've used is the last loophole in the law. It really is a law. I mean, it's the last thing left open to little guys like us to reach millions of people. And that's what our last show is about, the reasonable access law, where if you become a federal candidate, such as Congress, Senate, run for president, I've always run for Congress, that you can, the law in America, ironclad, still protects you to put any message you want on the air, and they cannot censor it. I always say we would love to win the races we're in, but when we're being outspent $1 million to $5,000 or so in some cases, or $1 million to $10,000, let's not be unrealistic. But just because we don't have a chance to win necessarily by normal standards, let's not let that deter us from fighting in the way we can and reaching hundreds of thousands and millions of our fellow citizens with exactly what's going on in the country, exactly who the enemy is, and exactly
what the truth is most people are not aware of just how lied to they've been, and
they are
so right. And the problem, what we did last time, of course, is we were able to run a few ads, and some of them just basically pointed out some of the more glaring lies that have been told, and then gave people an opportunity to get further information by giving out a website,
and that
seemed to be a very effective way to giving people the next step.
Yeah, we always direct them to a website where then the ones that are inclined to research, or if they finally their brainwashing is breaking, they can get all the information they want by the links that we give them and what we have on the website we recommend. So there's a million commercials that could be put on. Now, what we're going to talk about today, though, is actually the most important thing, and that is exactly what the average person can do in America to take back the government by constitutional and peaceful means. Now, let me say, Daryl, that it's not only this week, it's the last 20 years. I've heard on whether it be kind of establishment conservative or alternative radio third party organizations, they have not been able to tell the people what they can do that's effective, because some of them haven't known. Many of the big organizations, whether it's National Right to Life or National Organization for Women or National Rifle Association or ACLU, they don't want to tell their people what we're going to talk about this show, because they're all kneeling down as an appendage. You know, they're cravenly cowering, I should say, or kneeling down at the false altar of the Republican or Democratic Party. So they don't want to tell people, hey, you know, we got a bunch of traitors running these two parties, but we really want our pat on the head at the White House, or we want our pat on the head at Congress. So we're not going to tell you that we need to go in and try to throw these people out at the county level. And so here, let me try to get people's interest in this subject by explaining a real-life history of what happened. We challenged the Republican Party in Hamilton County, which is Cincinnati, Ohio, which is one of the premier Republican parties in the country, county organization. We challenged them in 1986, faintly, because we were just finding out about the system. 1988, pretty big time. In 1990, we ran 600 people out of 900 neighborhoods, and we actually beat them. We went to the county meeting, which we'll explain in a minute. Let me tell you something. Had this happened in 100 major cities in America instead of just one, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the whole gang would have been meeting in London and D.C. and in New York City trying to figure out how to stop all these all these hicks across the country from coming in and taking the government away from them. The Republican Party was so worried about what we were doing. Now, we had 600 housewives, Daryl, guys that were going to be roofers in the day. These are the type of people we had running for their neighborhood precinct, and who 600 of whom won out of 1,000. The Republican Party had elected, 600 ran, and then we elected about 300. They ran 900, and they elected about 600. So at this county meeting, which everybody just kind of stick with this and trust me, there's a big county meeting for the Republican Party every 2 years and for the Democratic Party in your area. They were so worried at the national level, they sent three national observers in to help the local party. They spent $100,000 against maybe our group spending $3,000, because we were mainly doing it by word of mouth and telephone. And we actually beat them, though. There was a technicality they screwed up on, and we beat them in 1990. Now, they eventually took it to the Supreme Court of Ohio and took it away from us, and that can happen, too, at first. But the one reason they could do that so easily is so few people understood what was happening. They understood, Daryl, and this is what I want everyone to understand, that we're not just saying this is another letter-writing campaign. This isn't going to Washington, D.C. to protest with 300,000 people, which sounds great, but believe me, the establishment couldn't care less about those 300,000 people.
Well, they're ineffectual because basically they're just noise.
All they want to do, they're kind of nervous while the 300,000 people are there. They bring the police up. But they know once they go home, all their men like Lieberman, Schumer, Santorum, all the senators.
Nadler and Waxman.
They're in the positions of power. They're the ones that got the police force they can send in. They got the court. So they just keep moving on once they calm the people down. So we're not saying, but they understood. The establishment in the Republican Party, which is one half of this monster we're fighting in America, they understood that if we want in that county, even though we were independents and not all of our people agreed on everything, they would have lost control of Cincinnati. And then if we told people across the country, they would have had a barn fire on their hand. And in 1990, of course, this would have done, they were so much, you know, it would have been such a preemptive strike, and it would have slowed them down so much, and we can still slow them down. So they understood it. Now, what was our side like? We had 600 people running. Out of those 600 people, Daryl, I would say 20 understood what was at stake. The other people were good people. They went along with us. They didn't understand this was so much more important than a rally or than a rhetorizing campaign. They did show up, but they never understood what it was all about. And so the point is, their side is like criminal demons who know exactly what's at stake, and they're pulling out all the stops. They were smearing me, these guys who make $1 million in a day, and I know that for a fact, some of these people we were fighting and their lawyers, I had a guy that knew a guy that worked for one of them. He made $1 million deposit in one day for the guy that was the head of the Republican Party during some of that period we were fighting them. They were spreading rumors that I, Jim Conda Jr., was in it for the money, and I can barely, you know, I got six kids, I'm barely making at the end of the month without running out of money. But they had some of our people would come up and ask me, are you really in this for the money? You know, so, and I said, well, if I am in it for the money, it's sure not working out that way so far. But the point is, you know what I'm talking about.
I do. But you trust me on that. I really do.
But they understood. The other side understood, Daryl, what was at stake. And our side, only of 20, I should say 10 or not quite 10% understood what it was all about. And so the people might say, well, what are you talking about now? I'm trying to get across, though, how important this is. One other thing. In that year when we had so many people, a county commissioner seat came up, which is a powerful position. It's not as powerful as Congress. They had a Sunday afternoon meeting where these precincts, neighborhood people that I'm going to tell you about, everybody had to show up. Of the 600 they elected, because it was Sunday, only 191 showed up. And for the people supporting our candidate, which was a fine, upstanding woman named Joanne Kemmer, the other guy was a complete sleazebag, Guy Guckenberger, we had 131 of our 300 people showed up. Now, if we could have just knocked some sense into the head of our folks and another 80 people or 60 people would have shown up, we would have actually there nominated Joanne Kemmer, a good lady, for county commissioner. She would have been on the ballot, and were a Republican county, she would have won. So for 60 people talking too much after church and having donuts too long or just not knowing how important it was, we lost a chance to put in a major office holder there. Now, if you can imagine if this was happening in all 3,000 counties across the United States, the other side would be panic-stricken, because number one, while they got New York City and Washington, D.C. and many of the big cities pretty tied up, the majority of the small counties and smaller counties, there's no Rupert Murdoch or there's no Benjamin Netanyahu types there. They're the local guys who came up through the neighborhood. The sheriff is a local guy who everybody knows. If the people were informing these folks on the small counties, they might immediately find that you have hundreds of counties where the sheriff says, look, we don't want the IRS coming in here and harassing our people, two counties, just a quick thing on that, two counties in this country, I don't know if they still have the good government in, but in the last 20 years, two of the counties made the United States Constitution part of their county constitution, and then the sheriffs were obstructing some of the overreaching federal agencies from coming into those counties. So if you can imagine that happening in hundreds or a few thousand counties instead of just two, then you can see the power of this. And people say, okay, what is the power of this? Okay, what we call it is the precinct strategy, and the very name might tend to start putting the people to sleep, but please, everybody, smack yourself in the head and stay up to get what this concept is.
Well, I'm doing that right now.
Well, even if it's not night when people are listening to this, we know for a fact. But this is like if I was going to say to you, we got 10 things you have to do to get back in really almost perfect health. You got to drink so much water, take vitamin C. And I gave them 10 prescriptions. Even though most people might find it a little boring and a little out of what they like to eat or something, if it would restore them to near perfect health, they should listen. And that's what this is. This precinct thing takes a little concentration. But I'm giving people here what they can do to quit, to take it beyond the education. We certainly need the education, and I'm all for it. But the other side is concentrated. In fact, some of the phony conservative organizations have told us, just educate, 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 while they're grasping, like I said, like political demons, they're grasping the level of levers of power, and it's like the Wizard of Oz movie. When you pull back the curtain on who it is, they're just blowhards who are scared that you pulled back the curtain. They're nothing special. They got us convinced that they're Superman. Absolutely false. Now, what is a precinct? Let's define it so that becomes clear in people's mind. A precinct is your neighborhood. The United States is divided into one country, 50 states, and then the states are divided into counties. Like in Ohio, we got 88 counties, in Iowa, they got 99 counties. Each county is divided into precinct neighborhoods, and there's actual geographical boundaries. And so if you live anywhere in the United States, you and about 6 to 10 streets around your house, that's your precinct. When you go to vote, all the voters in your precinct vote at that school or that old person's home or firehouse or wherever they vote. So your precinct is basically your neighborhood that's been boundaried off for the purposes of voting, okay?
Yeah.
Now, once we got that, every county, again, 3,100 plus counties, but let's take just my county, or you imagine your county. Every year in your county, there are two secret meetings. They're not really secret, but most people have never heard of them because the powers that be in the news media don't want you to hear of them. There's a meeting for the Republican Party and the Democratic Party every 2 years in April or May, and they bring together all their neighborhood representatives, and they elect the county party leaders, okay? That is where the action is. Those two meetings are where the action is. And, you know, you see the candidate who comes forth at election time. There's a Democrat and a Republican usually. And people hardly ever ask themselves, though, but we should, gee, where did those candidates come from? Who decided that those are the candidates? This is how we have to start thinking. And let me do an aside here. I don't want to get off on this track, but we could do another show on it if you want. Third parties are dead. I've worked with third parties in 92, 96, 2000. If we're past the primary, third parties can provide a voice to get some issues out, just like the radio ads campaign does. But the third parties do not control one county. The laws are stacked against third parties. As much as I hate the leadership of the Democrat and Republican Party, to do this through constitutional means, we have to work in those county meetings of the Democrat and Republican Party. The Democrat and Republican Party in every county in the United States controls the voting system and who's nominated for office. And the people they nominate for office 98% of the time win. So if the party endorses a Republican, he will 99% of the time, or 90%, whatever it is, it's a large percent, will win the primary. So look at how important your county party leaders are. They nominate all the congressmen and all the candidates in your area for their party, and they determine what the voting system is. Okay, so I hope everybody understands now. So here's where the action is. It's at the county meeting. They don't care how many people write their congressmen anymore because they got the election system fixed. It's all, to be blunt, Daryl, there's four computer companies, as we talked about, who count all the votes in every place in the United States except half the counties in little New Hampshire. All four of these companies, I believe, are Zionist Jewish run. Two of them, Diebold and Election System Services, which is by far the largest. The main player in each one is one of the Yurovsky brothers. I'll think of their name in a minute. Yurosovich brothers. The Yurosovich, U R O S. O-V-I-C-H. Can't find anything about either one of them, what their background is, what their religion is. I suspect they're both Russian Khazar Zionist Jews, and they're the big guys in these two.
Could they probably be dual citizen Israelis?
They probably are dual citizen Israelis. I did many internet searches on them. Can't find a thing about these guys as far as their background or their religion. Now, that's an aside point, but that's who's counting our vote. Whether people can accept that or not, I don't care whether they can accept it. Just take a moment, grab your head, and accept it. 99% of the vote in the United States is counted by four Zionist Jewish-run computer companies, so we have no chance at the current level to vote anybody out. They might let us win. They might let Ron Paul win, because then all the conservatives can say, we got one congressman out of 435. You see, there's a strategy there, though, so our people still think they should work within the system. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But they could easily defeat Ron Paul if they could make it believable this time. As long as it didn't raise too many things, they just fix 7% of the vote and he loses. So the point we're getting at here is so where's the action? They don't care if you write your congressman, if you protest, if you work for one of the Democrat or Republican Party candidates that they approve. They're worried about citizens showing up at these county meetings. Now, here's the point, Daryl. Every person in the United States, unless they're an invalid or a religious in a monastery or something like that, every person can at least attend their county meeting in May or April of 2008.
And do you get to vote when you do that?
Only if you, we'll go through that next, only if you get yourself five signatures from your family and your friends in the neighborhood and you get on the ballot and win. And I'll get to that in a minute, but let's just focus for a minute on, because some people might hear that and say, oh my gosh, I never got any signatures, but I'm telling every person, if you have the slightest interest in the United States of America, the slightest interest in how your children and grandchildren are going to grow up, and also the people of the whole world, then you can at least attend the county meeting in either the Republican or Democratic Party in your county. You can call the party, whatever party you feel better going to, you can call their headquarters and say, hey, when's the county meeting? Don't even let them know what you're up to, but we should have hundreds and thousands of people at these county meetings, and they can go. They will, one, the first thing they're going to be astounded by when they go is while the guys running it in the big cities will be all dressed in, you know, $2,000 suits and look like intimidating everybody, they're going to be astounded at the brain deadness of the people who are voting these guys in. Who's voting them in is usually the county employees. These are people whose job depends on the people that are up for election, okay? And they come there and they just rubber stamp everything and put their head down and leave because they don't want their job to be. But when you see how brain dead these people are, the first thing that you'd get is confidence. Gosh, if we had a few normal people running, we could easily beat these guys, you know. So that's the first thing you'll notice. The second thing you'll notice, the second thing that should happen is people should bring business cards, 8.5 by 11 flyers or whatever, and signs, and they should pass out to these people at this precinct meeting websites and some statements. For instance, what I would like to see them, of course, do is say, America is now occupied, its government, its media, and its money is now occupied by Zionist Jews who are pushing us toward World War III or something like that. Look at these websites and learn about this. The other thing that can be done is if they don't want to take an issue like that, they can pick any issue. You know, there's a million of them out there that they could pick that would be...
Well, Jim, let me ask you this, Jim. I mean, 2008 seems like forever when you take a look at how quickly things are descending.
I know.
And is there a way that this group, these county, there's going to be county involvement between now and this next election here?
There probably is not much because, see, once they get voted in, once they elect the party people in, like, May of 2006 is when it happened around here, they don't want those meetings to come together again. The guys that are elected, it's the county chairman, his executive board, and then there's, like, a central committee that's about 100 people usually in a big county or maybe 20 people in a small county. That executive board and mainly the party chairman runs things in the dark for the next 2 years. They don't want any more meetings. So I wish, you know, I've been screaming about this for 15 years, and you know, they say for some reason nobody picks up on it, but I, you know, be honest with you, the time to do is to prepare now and get ready to get hundreds and thousands of people to your county meeting in 2008. Now, I don't know if it'll be this month or next month, but we will have up at networkamerica.org a interactive sign-up thing where people can come in from all over the country and sign up for their county and their precinct and put their contact information, and there will be nobody censoring who contacts who. In other words, the idea is, you know, but with the Internet, this could spread from 40 people to 200,000 people in a year, and everybody could be headed towards these county meetings. So this thing we'll have up that people can come in, sign up, and see who else has signed up will allow anybody to contact anybody else, and we hope that synergistically then this will spread to 300,000 or 400,000 people, which there's easily that many on conservative mailing lists. And again, I'm talking as a minimum, just attend the meeting. Here's what it's been like, Darrell, and this is a very important analogy. It's as if these last 40 years we've been at a football game, and the other side, and let's be blunt about who it is, the Zionist Jewish faction and the Freemasons primarily, those are the two, not that every Freemason knows what's going on, but the ones that are pushed up the line, that's basically who's in office in the United States. And they're on the football field, and they're running up and down the field scoring touchdowns. We don't even have a team on the field, because we're not at the county meetings. Our guys, all of us, are in the locker room, okay? We're watching the game on a monitor, and we're saying to our leaders, we got to do something. We got to do something. And you know what our leaders have said to us? They've said, hey, let's keep watching the game here on the monitor, and let's write a letter out to the football field and ask them if they'll score some touchdowns for us. So we've sat there like idiots writing letters, and you know, one of these traitor leaders carries it out to the field, and they look at it and they say, yeah, well, we've scored like 100 touchdowns for us. We'll score one for these guys that wrote us a letter. Then when they score one for our side, everybody goes, yay, see, letter writing works. And then they go back scoring another 100 for their side. What we're saying is, even if we get beat up at first, quote unquote, psychologically, because you're walking into an arena a lot of people don't understand, get out of the locker room. So quit watching the game on the monitor, run out on the field and try to get the ball and score some touchdowns. We might get knocked down a few times, but what's really going to happen, if this can happen, is we're going to find out we overwhelm the people that have been on the football field, because 95% of the people do not like the way things are going, as you know.
Well, I would say that's conservative. And, you know, of course, the only people asking that question are the controlled media, so
yeah.
We never do know how angry people are. I think they're much more angry than anyone knows.
Okay.
You know, and then so now, getting your so what we need to do is a grassroots organization in advance of 2008 in the May or April or May period, finding out who in advance of that. It should be in February.
Yeah, in fact, I think another thing there on this website, which we don't have this up. There's programmers are working on it right now. They're all volunteer, but they're good guys. We'll also put up for every county where the meeting is. So as people find out, they can call in and say the meeting is at the VFW hall or the convention center.
Well, Jim, what I'm trying to say is that in advance of that vote that is taken in February, what we need to do is start making a grassroots effort to get our own candidates.
That's right. We should start doing that now. As soon as we get this up, we're going to spend a year getting candidates. And let me explain, because that's the other part of this thing we have to talk about. Let's say somebody's listening, and I think there are definitely people listening, because I hear callers both on Big Talk Radio and on Internet radio and satellite radio. People are listening who are saying, well, okay, we're willing to do more than go to the meeting. Just tell us, what do we do to try to get onto the playing field and become one of these neighborhood precinct things? So let me go through that real briefly here, because it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're running for, and keep in mind again, let me state this again so people don't lose track of why we're going through these nuts and bolts. If we could snap our fingers and take over all 3,100 counties tomorrow in the United States, then we could change to an honest voting system within a month. And we could also make sure that all the candidates that were nominated were at least people who put their conscience before the party line. We know the party line is going up to the international bankers. So I've always said at this point, and I got real strong views on all kinds of things. I could probably start debates in your listeners or anything else. But I would rather have anybody who puts their conscience ahead of the party line than one of these party line drones who's following the party line from the Democrat and Republican Party. So if we do that, we would then then have people of conscience nominated for all offices. And then the slows that we could put on these people that are ruining the world is unbelievable. As you know, Daryl, just mentioning who the enemy is and giving evidence that it is the supremacist Zionist Jewish faction, that alone causes them to go under the rug. They cannot stand. What's their greatest strength is people don't know where to look and where to monitor and where to oppose.
That's right.
So that's why we're going through this, folks. It's called taking back the world and taking back the country. And that is, so there's nothing that could be more important. So here's what you would do. You're in a precinct. Let's say you're in a precinct in California or anywhere, and you can call your county board of elections if you want and say, here's my address. You know, I live at 333 Broadband Lane or whatever. What precinct am I in? Now remember, again, the conspirators, the criminals, there's only a few of them in the nation, and there's only a few of them in each county. I have always found the ladies who are working the Board of Elections great people. They're normal people. They'll do anything to help you. Of course, the people that got the computers fixed don't care how much they help you because they know they can fix the election. So the ladies, you'll say, here's my address, 333 Broadband Lane. What precinct do I live in? And they'll say, well, Mr. Smith, you live in precinct 2J of Cincinnati or whatever it is. Okay. So then you can get a map and they'll tell you not, you can only get a map for $2, though you'll also get a list of all the registered voters. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want, and I just recommend people do that. So then from those registered voters, which will usually be 200 to 500 in your party, you have to follow the rules of your area, but you basically got to get 5 signatures. So it might be you, your wife, and 3 other registered voters. And if, you know, some people, the way that the world has gotten, Daryl, when I was young, everybody on the street knew everybody else. And after 7 o'clock when people ate supper, it seemed like there was like an eternity between 7 and 9 or 10 p.m. in the summer when everybody played and talked and did. But now nobody knows their neighbors because everybody's inside watching TV and running like a rat race to make ends meet. So even if you don't know your neighbors, all you got to do is go and knock on the door. You don't have to say, I'm running because I want to oppose this, that, or I'm for this. Just say, look, some of my friends have asked me to run for this precinct position, and it doesn't obligate you to anything. It just helps me to get on the ballot. Would you mind signing? And 99% of the people are going to say, or maybe 100% even, will say, sure, I'll sign for you. And you get 5 signatures. Okay, so now you're in your neighborhood. You know where your boundaries are of your voting neighborhood or your voting precinct. You get the 5 signatures, maybe you get 7 just to make sure that there's no glitch, but you have the list there that you know who the registered voters are. You turn that in. Now you're on the ballot for either Republican or Democratic precinct in your neighborhood. Okay? Now,
Listen
to this one. 1 out of 3. See, nobody knows about this system. If most people listening have probably voted their whole life like I did until 1986, they didn't notice that at the primary, the last thing on the ballot usually says Central Committee. And you either leave, I think I left it blank, I never even noticed it, or you just printed it because it was always run unopposed, you just, you know, punch it or whatever. And that is the precinct. They call it committee men on most of the ballots. So nobody even knows that's happening, but would you believe that because this system is not known, because the party leaders don't want people to know about it, 1 out of 3 of these positions are vacant in the United States. So if you get your 5 signatures, you have a 1 out of 3 chance to be the winner if you just go on election day and vote for yourself, you see, because you'll be running unopposed. If there is a contest, then usually it's decided because a lot of people don't vote for that position and not many people voted at a primary. These look like football scores. It'll be 11 to 9, 22 to 18, 65 to 52, which might be a high school football score. But this is, in other words, there's very few people that vote for this position, and it's the only race in the United States. If you want to go the extra mile, all day you can stand there on election day or have your wife or some of your friends stand there. You can actually greet every voter and say, vote for me. I mean, we're not talking, see, it's very hard to monitor a city election or a state election, impossible, or a presidential election, impossible. It's not hard to monitor your precinct election because you're
going to be at the precinct place and you're going to stand 50 feet away from the front door.
Right.
You've got your name on the thing and you say on the way in, would you please consider voting for me?
Yeah, and we could go into another time. Lynn Landis, who is a great investigative journalist, independent on vote fraud out of Philadelphia, and she's got a new 13-minute video up on Google Video that's very good on this whole subject of the voting thing. But Lynn Landis has said we need to run parallel elections on even for Congress, which is a monumental undertaking, but to run a parallel election for precinct is not a problem. And we could talk about that, but it basically just means talking to 10 or 15 of your neighbors and say, will you vote for me, and I may need to call on you that if it was an affidavit that you voted for me, and you let the powers that be know that we are monitoring, and we're going to have affidavits for how many people voted for me. They are going to worry if you're in a contested race, which one third of the time you will not be, then they're going to be very worried about showing you getting 9 votes when you can produce 13 people that give affidavits that they voted for you. So that's another strategy. That's another thing. But again, even that is in a lot of trouble to go to when we're talking about saving the country. Most people will spend between 4 on the downside and 40 on the upside hours a year if they decide to become one of these precinct soldiers that we need all across the country. So then on the primary, let's say it's in May, then you get elected, let's say. And then in June, roughly a month later, there's state statutes that govern that they got to have the meeting by a certain time. And in fact, that's what they violated in 1990 that allowed us to beat them on a technicality, but we really did beat them legally. But within a month, like June of 2008, they'll have the precinct meeting, and they'll say it's at the VFW Hall, it's at the convention. You go there, and then you can make yourself felt. There's a time to speak if you want to say anything. There's a time at least pass things out. And if we got to the point where hundreds of thousands of people or tens of thousands were running and we had enough people in a county, there's many times you can pick out a state senator who's a good man. We got an excellent state senator here in Cincinnati. There's another one in Idaho because a lot of these are local guys and they really understand a lot of what's going on. So you could pick a guy who's in office who's one of the best guys, or you could just put up another person and try to actually vote in your own person and your own committee as party leaders, and that's what we did in 1990. That is basically, I know you record all these things. People can download them and listen to them over and over again. They can also go to networkamerica.org. That's O-R-G, networkamerica, like it sounds, .org. And right on front and center it says Network America Action Plan 2008, and it explains what we've gone over here, and it also explains a lot more. And I'll give you one other thing we have not covered, okay? Not only does the county chairman of each party decide what the voting system is, so now they've all delegated to these crooked computer companies instead of letting the people count paper ballots. The neighbors should be counting their own paper ballots in their own neighborhood polling place as soon as the polls close. That's what should be happening. They also determine who all the endorsed candidates are, and 99% of the time the endorsed candidate wins the primary for the Republican or the Democratic Party. They also, though, the county leaders then elect their state party leader. And those 50 state party leaders elect the national party leader. So if we had this happen, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers could come in and say, we want John McCain to be head of the Republican Party, or his man, or whatever. And we could, if we had enough people, we'd say, well, fine, thanks for your suggestion, but we're going to elect Mr. Everyday Honest Man over here to be head of the Republican Party. So not only do the county chairman decide the voting system in your county, the candidates in your county, from city councilman to congressman, they also elect the state chairman in your party, and those 50 state chairmen elect the national chairman. And those national chairmen of the Republican and Democratic Party, they're the ones that set all the rules for the primaries and conventions. So we have another thing up on networkamerica.org, Daryl, which is called the most powerful office in the land. And it's a very clever thing that was done by a gentleman who I've lost contact with and, quite frankly, would probably oppose a lot of the political views that you and I espouse, but he did an excellent job, and he did it in such a nice, simple, clever way, and it's called the most powerful office in the land. And his conclusion at the end that if people understood it, the precinct executive actually is more powerful than the president. I mean, technically that isn't true once you get a president, but actually if we understood it, the precinct execs across the country would be determining ultimately who are the nominees for president.
Well, so basically,
This is going to take each and every one of us to commit ourselves to making a change here. So
that's right.
What I'm recommending people do is, first of all, understand the dire nature. And that's what basically the website that IamTheWitness.com is to tell people that we are in some of the most harrowing moments of world history, I think, and especially, human history has visited painful events over time. But the truth is that America is in the last throws of its history as a free country.
If we don't do this, you are absolutely correct. People don't understand something, and you've brought it out on some of your shows that I've listened to. 100 million people under communism, which now the communists have changed their mask, but the communists killed 100 million individuals, just like you and me, were snuffed out by this monster communism. And as you said on one of your programs, that is chicken feed compared to what they plan to do in the 21st century.
Well, it wasn't just they're communist, criminal Zionists, and basically.
Sure.
They murdered 57 million in Western Europe.
That's right.
And another 60 million in Russian steppes. And then, of course, 30 million under the auspices of Mao's criminality. So it's well over 150 million.
And I agree with you. And all I was saying was they were using the mask of communism. And I always tell people, you know what their mask is now? The Democrat and Republican Party is their mask now.
That's right.
Now, one other thing there I forgot to mention, and this is very important, and it is another one of our constitutional rights. I don't care if Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't like what I'm going to say. I don't care if Charles Schumer doesn't like what I'm going to say, or Rothschild or Rockefeller. The founding fathers of the United States of America gave us the Bill of Rights so that we could oppose tyrants like this. And one of those Bill of Rights is the First Amendment, free speech. Another one is the Second Amendment. And let me talk a minute about the Second Amendment in relation to our constitutional exercise of our precinct system, also our constitutional exercise of our Second Amendment. There are many reasons we were given the Second Amendment, and I want to quickly tell a story of a true story that happened during Hurricane Andrew. And I think we had talked a little before the show. It's Homestead, Florida, where you said
Homestead, the one that was destroyed in Hurricane Andrew,
yeah,
I believe.
Florida's a flat place, if you've ever been there. I've been there two or three times in my life. It is a flat state, unlike Ohio, where we got hills everywhere. But it's flat. So this hurricane came through and flattened the houses. I mean, that literally, there was miles where there was nothing but vacant lots or maybe just a little bit left of houses where the houses once stood. So once it was over, all people who couldn't get out of there quickly could do was, like, take something they found that they owned and mark out where their house had been. So you had all over the area people sleeping on lots or grass waiting to see how they could get out of there in the first or second day. Well, one person that one of my sisters knew was down there, and he happened to be able to keep control of his guns. He had a few guns, and he didn't know what was going to happen. Was there going to be gangs roaming? He woke up a morning or two after the Hurricane Andrew came through, and he looked. I couldn't believe what he saw. A few thousand feet away, he saw three zoo animals prowling around, and these were three baboons, which, as everyone knows, I think they're large monkeys. They had gotten loose because of the hurricane. And he knew that if they lurched, he didn't know if they were hungry or what. He knew if they lurched for any of the children or any of the adults, people were going to die. So he took his rifle and shot all three of them and killed them, okay? It turned out later they had been freed by the hurricane from a testing facility. All three of them had been injected with AIDS virus because they were trying to figure out how AIDS was acting in people back then. And they were doing it on the monkeys. So not only had they, their blood could have infected people even if they didn't kill them. Now, that's a real-life example why the Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment.
I think they also gave it to us so that we could get rid of some AIDS-infected congressional baboons. What do you think?
Listen, Jim, wait a minute. Yeah.
Because didn't Thomas Jefferson tell us that we need to clear out the deadwood every 20 years?
Every generation or so. And listen, the point is that was the second reason was, wildlife, protect yourself or get food with regard to animals, protect your house against criminals, and protect your country against tyrants. Whether Charles Schumer likes it or not, Daryl, that's the reason the Founding Fathers gave us the Second Amendment. So let me tell you what, I can't remember the name, but I remember one of these ADL viruses was in Kansas speaking in about 1984 or 88. I can't remember the year. Here's what he said, though, and I always remember this. He says, what we have to fear, and he was talking to some group of brain-dead lefties. He said, what we have to fear is an intelligent political movement that is attached to Second Amendment groups. Now, he said militia, because they always want to act like you're a militia or roving people who just like to run around and make mayhem and kill people. What he basically was saying is, we are afraid of informed Americans who understand, A, the political system, and, B, understand the Constitution, and especially, we don't want them to understand the Second Amendment. So you and I here, and anybody that doesn't catch this, is deliberately misunderstanding what we're saying. We're laying out the peaceful constitutional means to take back the United States and to prevent the criminal acts that this criminal clique wants to do in the next 20 years. And part of that, though, is not only using the political system, but exercising all of our rights in the Bill of Rights, including intelligent and safe and responsible exercise of the Second Amendment. And so as we get this network going across the country for the political organization, and it'll be a step forward if we just know who our friends are from county to county and the leaders are. We also want to explain to people that it's probably a sensible thing to teach your sons, your daughters even, and your friends to go, and this is what the NRA is good for and a lot of other groups are good for, take some responsible Second Amendment training with a rifle and a gun so that you know how to responsibly and safely use a weapon. And believe me, and I know that the ADL and who's behind gun control and Charles Schumer, they look at what I just said as about hate speech because they're working night and day to figure how can we get the guns away from the American people so they will be helpless before us just like the people of Russia and China were once we took over.
Well, you know, and I'll let me tell you something right now too. Here's for Congress that will frighten you in the extreme. They have started a new caucus group in the Congress, uh-huh. And they're expecting 20 new members to these four that are already in it. That's called the Jerusalem Connection, the voice of Christian Zionism. For Zionist's sake, I will not keep silent. These people are working overtime. They started this organization on July 27th. The first one's name is Representative Dave Weldon, Republican of Florida. Uh-huh. The second one's name is Representative Gene Green, Democrat of Texas. Third one is Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat from New York. And the fourth one is Representative Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona. You need to understand that these people are working to export our freedom and put them into the hands of criminal Zionists.
In fact, we could nickname them the Traitor Caucus.
Well, that's right. And I called each and every one of them, and I said that I am building a consensus that is going to have them all charged criminally with treason against the United States. And I called each and every one of their congressional offices.
Now incidentally, Daryl, you just hit, and I'm still laughing in my mind about your comment before on the monkeys on the loose and the congressman. But this would be one of the most effective things that could be done, whether it be by radio ads. In fact, I think this is what I'm going to try to do with one of my radio ads and going to the precinct meetings or just talking it up. We need to demand that these dual agents, such as Schumer, such as Kissinger, such as Scooter Libby, I'm drawing a blank, but there's hundreds.
Well, how about these guys, Weldon, Green, Engels, Franks?
We need to say we want a bill of indictment to indict these people for treason.
Treason.
And in fact, Bush and Cheney, and again, I know that there's a big push in the phony opposition to act like Bush and Cheney or Billy Jeff Clinton is the good. But really, Bush and Cheney, who are in there, this would apply to them. They are committing treason because their loyalty is to a foreign power, namely not only the bandit terrorist state of Israel, but also the Zionist Jewish money system which gives them all their power to fund all their hundreds of organizations. So these people have even though the international banking system is not a country, it is a foreign power, and Bush, Cheney, and Schumer, and all these Hillary Clinton, their loyalty is to that group, not to the people of America. They all are traitors. They all should be indicted for treason.
And that's right.
Convicted.
It's absolute. And the director of this new organization is called Jim Hutchins. And I got to tell you, these people are the front line of the sickness. And so if anybody wants to look into that as well, and, you know, you play it back, it's called The Jerusalem Connection, and it's TJCI.org. And you will be revolted when you get to this place, because if you want to find out how they're selling us out, that will give you the impetus you need and the anger you need to start motivating yourself to look into both running for an office and running ads, and also starting to look into the precinct possibilities in your little precinct area.
Yeah.
You know, Jim, I got to tell you, these are educational, they're inspirational. But more than that, you know, they're in keeping with the process that our founders provided for us in the event that we were facing these kind of tyrannies.
Right.
And so what we need to do is we need to understand that this is the nuts and bolts of getting our freedom back and getting our world back. And we also have to understand the enemy will not sit silent.
No.
So part of the job that I've been trying to do on the French Connection is actually pinpoint who our enemies are. That's why I spend a moment here to read the names of these congressmen, because I want people to know that I'm going to be naming names every time I'm on the radio, and I'm going to try to name as many as possible. And if anybody of you out there wants to jot down the names I say every time, you'll be compiling a powerful list of criminals that we need to go and arrest and prove in court that they were treasonous.
Now, I don't know whether you can do it or whether we need to put up a separate website, but I've long felt we need to list by state, and if we get going here by county, who are the people who are selling out our country? Because I don't know if I heard you say it or who say it, but these people...
I did tell you that, and I've been asking right now, and there are people requesting it from me, and I, you know, I'm my health is difficult, and on top of that, you know, I'm already spinning my tires 24 hours a day.
Okay.
Even in my sleep, I find myself running in my sleep.
Daryl, let me say something there. When we get this system up where it is interactive and people can come in from anywhere and put things up, now keep in mind there will be we will look at what is going up before it goes up. It won't just be people can rid in it because they can start cussing us out and everything else. We want to keep it constructive. So, but we could also put up a list for submit a person in your area or nationally or anywhere you know about who is selling out America, list them and what they're doing, and then we would pre-screen that before it went up. But that would be a way to get up, to expand the list from dozens to thousands of people, you know.
Well, the whole idea behind this French Connection program is to be proactive and to take actions that are actually going to bear fruit.
Right.
And I'm not just here trying to blow smoke. What we can do, if we just put the investment of time and energy, it's time and energy, there's no substitute for it, ladies and gentlemen, sitting in front of your TV or in front of this radio, listening to your computer, listening to this broadcast, while it's informative, is not really going to get the job done.
But Daryl, did you notice, though, and I'm sure you did, and I hope everyone did you notice that this program, though, everything we've talked about, is within the reach of the average person? We're not saying you got to spend 4,000 hours a year. We're saying you got to spend 4 to 40 hours a year. We're not saying you got to get 6,000 signatures. We're saying you have to get 5 signatures or whatever the rule is in your area. We're not saying you have to go to a meeting every week. You have to go to 1 or 2 meetings per year. This is well within the reach and the budget and the timing budget, the time constraints of the average American.
Well, Jim, you are going to be a candidate in this cycle, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and we're going to put as many radio ads on as we
can.
Well,
let me tell everybody out there, you know, you guys bucked up and sent me enough to keep my bills squared away for this month and about half of next month. So I'm not in need of any money right now. If you would feel the interest before Jim actually takes out the papers. Have you already taken your papers out?
No, and here's what's going to happen, and maybe, here's what's going to happen. If people want to help this whole effort of precinct, okay, and I appreciate you mentioning this, they can go into networkamerica.org and they'll see a place for either a one-dime donation or a monthly donation that's taken out of a credit card or a debit card.
Well, is that coming to you to help you get these ads up?
No, that would be coming to help us do the precinct thing.
Well, I want some of this advertising too, and ladies and gentlemen, you can put 10 or 20 bucks.
Okay, here's what they can do. Okay, let me tell them what they can do on that. Within 10 days or so, we'll have up a website that people could do it online. But if they want to send us a check, they would have to send it to Jim Condit Jr., or you could say Condit for Congress, but C-O-N-D-I-T for Congress, at P.O. Box 11339. So that's P.O. Box 1-1-3-3-9. It's also on the realnews247.com website. But it's a Condit for Congress, P.O. Box 11339, Cincinnati, Ohio 45211. That's 452. I'm going to take that. 45211. So you could send a check if you wish made out to that, and then when we open up the committee, then we can use that immediately, which will be in a few days. And now let me say something about that, Daryl, since you brought it up, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell people what has happened in the past. Usually, the time we make the ads and do the mailings we do and all the phone bills and all that, about 80% of your money goes straight into the ads. I'm just telling people what has happened. Now, if we get $100,000 instead of $5,000, then maybe 99% will be able to go into the ads, okay? So I'm just saying that is what has happened, though. Usually 20% of
well, you've got to get the structure in before you can launch the ads.
Yeah, but once that is taken care of, really 100% can go into the ads. But once we get above that for $2,000 or $3,000 setup, so the point is, or you know, what it could be 800, depending on what year it was. But the point is that if, and I'm not, you know, again, I'm not unrealistic, but let's say when we get our internet site up, and I will have a little 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minute video up there where people can watch me talk, and then we'll play the ads, the exact ads they will be supporting, okay? And when that happens, let's just say that spread across the internet in September, and let's just say that we found 150 people who could afford it. I know a lot of people can't, and if you can't afford it, I ask people to just pray that we find the right people. But if we had 150 people that sent in $1,000, we could do this. We could do it in Cincinnati, where I am, because I like to kind of monitor what's happening to some extent. We could do it in Chicago, where Chris Boland was just arrested. We can do it in
Connecticut, where Lieberman's going to be a criminal candidate.
Yes, we could do, and of course Connecticut.
And of course, my big one was I wanted the one in New Hampshire because I think New Hampshire's the state we could probably take back first.
Yeah, we could do it in New Hampshire. We could do it in a few other big cities. And at some point, they have to start if you ever get enough on the air, enough repeat, where they have to start attacking you nationally, then they actually do your publicity for you, because then people still come into the website, and the ones that aren't brain dead pick up on what's going on. And when I run in Cincinnati, they have to attack me, especially the first time. They had to attack me. They couldn't ignore it. They couldn't pretend like everybody wasn't hearing these ads going to and from work. So they had to kind of attack me to some extent, although they in the talk shows they did not attack too much because they didn't want people going to the websites. So it was a very interesting dynamic. They tried to ignore it as much as they could, but they put a few TV spots on, news spots, warning people of this horrible kook who's saying that the 911 was a job done by the Mossad and the CIA, and they were bad part of the CIA and the certain elements of the Jewish lobby in the United States instead of the Arabs. So they tried to ridicule me, but they're losing that battle by this point, as you know, as far
well,
as
they are. And you know what? We have to get a few wins in our column. I know we're in the court of public opinion. We're beginning to make our mark, but
Daryl, let me tell you this. This is very interesting. Somebody from Australia sent me a Zogby poll. Zogby is one of the kind of establishment pollers, but he seems to go off the reservation occasionally. He was commissioned by a voting rights attorney named, I think, Lehte Leite, in I think Maryland, to do a poll of just like they do. They usually poll about 100 people, and they did this by their system for voting, and 90% of the people said they wanted to throw out the computers and have the citizens count their ballots by hand again. Now, if you listen to the crooked mass media, they're telling you everybody wants the quick computer results. This poll shows that is a lie, and I think on a lot of these issues, and this is why you got such frenetic activity, like Christopher Boland being tasered by those police state thugs there in Illinois. There's a lot of things like that happening, as you know. Nothing that serious, but there's a lot of weird, confusing activity happening all of a sudden. I think they know that they are losing. Let me put it a different way. 3 to 5% of the American people, hardcore, are finding out that it's the Jewish Zionists that are behind 98% of these problems that are created in the political world.
I think it's higher now. I'll tell you why I think this recent lunacy that they just unleashed on the Lebanese just punctuated the sickness that these people are.
Yeah.
And I think more and more people are actually coming to these facts. And I think that's why, I've been targeted so heavily here. But that's okay. You know what? I knew this wasn't going to be an easy task. And you just have to roll with it, Jim.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is we've got a job to do, and I'm not going to be distracted from the job. The job is to win back our nation and to win back the freedoms that were guaranteed to us. And you know what? We haven't had them in our lifetimes, but we deserve them back.
And can I say one other quick thing that's a qualifier, and some of your regular listeners may say, okay, we always hear people say it, but I think we need to say it. There are, at the street level, the everyday person in the United States and other countries, there are many individual Jewish persons at the street level who would call themselves Zionists because they believe that they need their own state and things. We're not talking about the person who just has some confused idea about things like that or some vague idea.
Exactly
We're talking about, and this is why I'm not totally always comfortable with the term Zionist, because I know there's a lot of everyday people who are not criminals, who are trying to get along life, who are Jewish, who, because of all the propaganda, they think the Zionist state is great. But in fact, we're talking about, at the top, the Zionist criminals, and we see plenty of them, from Schumer to Netanyahu, who's got to be one of the biggest international war criminals of all time. But what they've done in Lebanon is an absolute crime against humanity. And I got bad news for Netanyahu, as I like to call him, and the Rupert Murdoch and the whole gang. For the first time, when you had your minions of destruction go into Lebanon, I can guarantee you that I saw it, and people saw it. The talk shows here in America, the average person for the first time glanced nervously at this little banded state called Israel and said, I don't like this. Believe me, they boo-booed when they did this Lebanon thing. For the first time, people were saying, I'm not comfortable with what is happening here. I thought these guys were the Israelis were supposed to be the good guys. So, at any rate, we're talking about the criminals at the top, not your necessary.
But I would like, I would like to employ in our movement the element of shame here, and anybody who's ideologically supporting them should be ashamed of themselves.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't make them criminally negligent in the execution of it, but what it does do is it makes them shamefully complicit in some way, and they need to move away from that belief system, because that is a sickness. Do they need a jailing? No. Do they need to be eliminated? No, because it's the leadership that's led them astray.
Yeah.
And even the people in Israel, many of these people in Israel have had just a pack of lies shoved down their throats. And, they're as duped as the American public has been. So
Yes. And incidentally, what you just said goes doubly and triply for that body of human morons known as Christian Zionists.
Oh, my goodness.
If anybody happened into this program, and let me make it clear, the Christian Zionists, here's what the position they've taken, Darryl. It is so un-Christian, anti-Christ, what Jesus Christ would say. They've said, because we think, and believe me, they're wrong, but we think there's some prophecies being fulfilled in the Middle East, that we can violate the Ten Commandments, we can violate human decency, and back the criminals like Netanyahu and Omer all we want, just because we think there's some prophecies. And then they'll say this absurd thing to me, which we don't need to go into, but might be worth doing a whole show on this. You probably have done it with Ted Pike. They'll say, well, yeah, but it says in the Old Testament that if we don't bless Israel, that God won't bless us. Well, that, of course, that doesn't apply to this current Jewish state, this current Zionist state. But let me tell you what I say to those people, Darryl. I say, well, you know who was the first person then that got cursed because he didn't bless the Pharisees? Jesus Christ. He was crucified for standing up to the Pharisees. And any Christian Zionist, I would urge them to go to let me get this out so that the Christian Zionists can clear their head of this anti-Christian thing they're into. One is St. John chapter 8, verse 44, where Jesus Christ tells off the Pharisees who didn't believe in him. Then go to St. Paul, a Thessalonians 2nd chapter, when he says that those who, he actually says, because he's talking theologically now, those who rejected Christ, he says without any qualifications, he used the same language that Mel Gibson used when he was under the influence. He said that we are sorry that you were persecuted as we were by the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and who are the enemies of all God and all men, or the adversaries of God and all men. That is bluntly said in Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians by St. Paul. Now, I know everybody listening to this program isn't Christian, Daryl, but what I'm saying to Christian Zionists, because I am I'm a Christian, I'm saying to Christian Zionists, you get in there and look at those verses and shake your head clear that you're going to somehow get off the judgment of God by supporting this criminal activity coming out of the Jewish lobby and the organized Jewish lobby and the Zionist state of Israel.
Well, you know, Jim, we've thrown a lot out there again, as we always have in the last two broadcasts, number three now. I want to thank you again
for getting
some clarity to these issues. I want to urge everybody out there in this listening audience to please do their very best. There is really no time to lose. The organization of this has to start now. Begin to talk to your friends about it. Put it on some chat rooms. Go to Opposing Digits. They've been doing a great job over there of putting these issues out for conversation and for debate. And all of the people working out there, please, this is serious stuff. We need to work harder than we have been if we're going to ever beat these folks against, you know, this is a terrible group that we're facing. And I'll tell you something, I don't think we're going to lose against them, but every day that we don't win now is more suffering for the world. And so
that's right.
If you really care about the human suffering, we need to really turn up the heat here.
That's right.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on the French Connection again. And I look forward to our next visit here. So, ladies and gentlemen, you will know that Jim Condit will be on again. We will have some other Jim Condit Jr. will be on again. His dad won't be on soon. And we'll be discussing another very important issue with him. So please stay tuned for that. And hopefully we'll have another interview for tomorrow. So this is Daryl Bradford Smith saying good night. I'm going to go to bed now. It's very, very late.
Okay.
And thanks again, Jim, for being with us.
Thank you, Daryl.
Bye-bye now.